So we're reading Bamidbar chapter 8 today, and I guess this is one more appendix to the story of the dedication of the Mishkan, and especially the dedication of the Leviim around it, the Kehanim, the Leviim, all of that. I guess I've been saying the word appendix many times, but it seems to me that in a certain sense the entire Sefer Midbar is the book of appendixes to previous stories, especially to the story of the Mishkan and the Kehanim discussed in Sefer Vayikra. So, it's like this. The first thing we have here is a mitzvah. I've framed it here as a mitzvah. I'm not entirely sure that that's the best or most correct framing for this. It's possible that we should see this more as part of the story. In other words, part of the story of the Chanukah. But it's definitely said in the sense of a mitzvah. And that's the mitzvah about lukas ha-menorah, or as it's called here, ha'alos neiros ha-menorah, putting on or raising the lamps onto the menorah. That's how it's said here. Now, this is a mitzvah that has been said many times already, at least three times. The Ramban here struggles to explain how there's something added in each time. There's something added here that we didn't have in previous episodes of the same thing. It's less convincing to me what it's why, or in other words, even if there is something added, we still need to explain why this is added here again. So why is it split up so much? We said the same thing, so to add that it has to be on the menorah, that the seven lamps should be towards the middle or something like that. Okay, but why? And it seems like the reason is similar to the reason for all these stories being caught up in the way that we've discussed, that we've seen, which is that it seems like in some sense this belongs to the story of the Chanukah, to have the halas ha-menorah. Of course, there's famous midrashim that discuss this in some ways, but it seems like that is what is going on here. There's some way in which this is a continuation of the Chanukah, just like the Nesiim brought their gifts and the other processes of Chanukah happened. There is also the mitzvah of lighting the menorah or of putting the lamps onto the menorah that is somehow part of that. It's not entirely clear how it's part of that, but that seems to be the story. So there's a mitzvah, Hashem speaks to Moshe, tell the Haran to that. And this is how it's framed. When he raises the lamps, it should be towards the Pnei HaMenorah, the face of the Menorah. What exactly this means is also not very clear. It seems to be a mitzvah about the structure of the Menorah. So there's, just to be very clear, this is, I think, agreed upon. There's a Menorah. A Menorah is a vessel, right? A kind of kli, which, you know, has the branches, as everyone recognizes. And that's called the menorah. It's the vessel which holds the lamps. Now, the menorah is not in which directly the lights, the oil with the wicks, the fire is lit. On top of the menorah, there's something called neiros here, or sometimes called moir, I think, which are lamps. And in those lamps, we put some oil, and we put some wick, and we light it. So the work, the avodah of lighting the menorah, is really the avodah of putting lamps onto this lamp holder, right? It's a candelabra. It's holding the lamps. It's not, the lamps don't go directly, and it's not like there's a cup on the top of them where you put the oil. No, there's, like we do in our menorahs, people sometimes have complaints about that you put, when we have a menorah on Hanukkah, everyone usually puts like a glass and in that the oil. But that's actually the original way of doing it. It's not directly in that. The menorah is a vessel that holds the lamp, which is the oil and the wick and all of that. So that's the mitzvah. And the mitzvah seems to be precisely this, the connection of the lamps to the face of the menorah, and that is interpreted whether it has to be tilted towards the front or the middle or the face. Depends also on how you imagine exactly the menorah to have been. It's not entirely clear to me what the simple meaning of this is, or to anyone, I think. But in any case, this is the mitzvah about specifically this, about the connection of the lamps to the menorah. And then, as many mitzvahs go, it has also the report of the mitzvah being done. This is like, again, how all these stories are built. And the Yasker Naharan does that, and precisely this. He puts the neiros el mul pnei menorah, as Hashem has told him. And now we get a postscript, sort of, to this, which is not only talking about the lamps being put on the menorah, but also the menorah itself being created, being made in the correct way, in the way that Hashem told. Of course, this is not really adding anything. We already know this from the end of Parshas Pekudei, from Vayakhel, that all the vessels, everything was made as Hashem commanded. It seems like, again, this is connected to this idea that somehow, since the menorah is an interesting vessel, it's an interesting kli, it has a part of it which is sort of comes apart, right? A big part of this whole story is how things come apart when they're traveling, right? We have the Oren and the Badei Oren, which is the way their travels and so on. Apparently, the menorah every night is in some sense taken apart because the lamps are the main part which makes the light. And here we have this like thing that's connecting them. So in the same way, we have to repeat that the menorah is made in a certain way, and it's connecting that to the story of the lighting of the menorah. That's how I think we can understand what it's saying here, and therefore it repeats. The creation, the making of the menorah is make sure it's one piece of gold. That's at least how Rashi interprets it, from its leg to its flowers. So all of, from the big parts to the small part, that's what it means. Like the big details, the small details, as Hashem has showed Hashem Moshe, that's how he made the menorah. So again, the same idea. There's the command and the action which match. There's a symmetry. There's always this symmetry between the mitzvah and the asiyah. But the point here is that there's symmetry goes all the way to the hadlakas ha-menorah, halas neiros ha-menorah. So that's the mitzvah here. The last mitzvah belongs there. And then maybe we could say it shouldn't really be a series of mitzvahs, but belongs to the Chanukah Sambeis. Now we have one more appendix, which is really appendix to something we've already started talking about in previous chapters. And I think that this is somewhat out of place. It probably should have probably happened before the Leviim, before the Nesim did their Chanukah. So it's really an appendix to how the Leviim were sanctified and got the job and the place of doing the Avodah. And also particularly how they were replacing the Bechorim. We learned already before how the Bechorim had to, how the Levim were taken in place of the Bechorim, and there was the Pidyon of the extra Bechorim with five Shkolim. And here we see the process of how the Levim, their bodies specifically, were purified in order to become the Levim. So like there's this process, Levim, unlike Kehanim, Kehanim has Mashiach, B'Shem and HaMishch, but unlike Kehanim, who at least seems like they don't need like to be purified. There's Kafur's Kabonas, Miloy, maybe it also has to do with purifying of the Kehanim. But the Levim, very specifically, because they're said to be replacing something. So they were not originally meant to be the Levim. The Levim are somehow the Shlichim. They're the replacing of all the Bechorim, of all the Yisrael that has to now take their place to do the Avodah. So there's a very specific process describing this, and that's the rest of this chapter describing that process. And again, there's the Mitzvah and the Asiyah, right? So we have the Mitzvah, and the Mitzvah is like this. Hashem tells Moshe, take the Levim and purify them with Yahar Toisam. And he says, how exactly the Avitar? How? What will you do to purify them? The first thing is, you will spray Mechatas on them. In other words, Mechatas again is something that we don't yet know what it is in the order of the Torah. It's said only in Parshas Chikas what it is. We know that it's the Pura Adima. But it says, spray Mechatas on them. That's to purify them from Tumas Meis, as we'll learn there. Second thing is, pass over a razor on their entire flesh. In other words, shave all of their hair. And then as we've studied in the story of the Nozir, this seems to have also been a process of purification. Third thing is, wash their clothing. So I guess the Mechatas is washing their body, but also wash their clothing. Of course, we interpret as being in the mikveh, but means that's a basic, simple to understand that it's a process of purification, and that will purify them, their bodies. And then, adding to this, there's like mechusa kapara, right? There's like a carbon that has to do with the purification. So they take a par for oila and a second par for achatas, and this is the standard way of when you do purification, always oila and achatas with their mincha, and that will be the carbon of purification. Now, there's also an action of purification, like an activity, like a ritual of sort of giving the Levim over from the people. So what we do is, we bring the Levim in front of the Ohel Moed. We gather together all the people, and the people do smicha on the Levim. So the Levim themselves are sort of like a carbon, just like when a person brings a carbon, he does smicha on it, and that's in some sense like carrying over the responsibility or the hakadosha from the person to the carbon. And the same with the Levim are sort of the carbon that the Bechorim or the Yidden are bringing to the Mishkan to work instead of them. So the Bnei Yisrael are doing smicha on the Levim, and then just like many carbonists, especially the ones that are not makrif on the Mizbech, right, we do tenufa, we raise them, so like symbolically raise it to Hashem. In the same way, Aharon here will do tenufa on the Levim, to raise the Levim to symbolically bring them to Hashem. And that then they will voyu lav the avodah Hashem, then they are dedicated, then they are part of the avodah. Then the Levim will bring their kabbonas, right? The Levim are the carbon of the Yidden, the Levim themselves bring kabbonas, these two purim, so the smicha on the purim, and then the kehanim will do the avodah, will make them the khatas. And then it says it again, I think, I'm not sure if this is a repetition or not. It says again, you will make the levim stand. You will put. You will. I don't have a good translation in English. Amantas levim means like something you will present the levim for Haran and the children. They do tenufa, which is maybe another tenufa according to Rashi and other mefarshim. So the first tenufa was like giving them from the Yidden. The second one is for the Karim to accept them, and this will separate levim from the Yidden. After all of that, they will come to do davar of the oil moed, and they will be purified and have tenufa. So again, a repetition again. Maybe the third time is already another repetition. But in any case, in other words, that's when it will happen. It will be chal. They will become the levim. And the pasuk repeats the reason for all of this, which we already had. Because the levim are given to the Kehanim, to the Mishkan, from the Yidden, tachas pitus karechem, instead, in the place of the Bechoyrim, which were given to Hashem when he killed all the Bechoyrim. So there's like this double exchange is going on. Hashem exchanged the Bechoyrim of the Yidden for the Bechoyrim of Mitzrayim. They're all his, and therefore they become his. And now he's exchanging them for the Levim, and then he's giving the Levim to Aharon from the Yidden to La'avdas Avodas B'nai Yisrael, and to Bimchapel B'nai Yisrael, in other words, to protect them from the sin of touching the Mikdash when they're not pure. And that, according, by doing that, Lo Yeh B'nai Yisrael Negev, there will mean not be a Magaifa, there will not be a killing or a Makkah, which usually means something like a Magaifa, which we call a plague or some kind of punishment for the B'nai Yisrael touching the Kodesh. The Levim are sort of the Mechitza between them. That's the end of the mitzvah. And then we have the report of it being done. V'yas Moshe V'an Choldes B'nai Yisrael, they did Moshe Aharon, each did their part, as Hashem told about Levim. And it repeats, in short, all the stages. They have Vayishchatu, right? They have the Mechatas. They have Sbegdam. There's the Tenufa. There's the Kapura, which means the Karbonas. And after that, they come and they become the Avodas Levim. That's similar to all the process that we've seen here. It's not simple to make something into a Karbon, to make something into Kodesh, to make a Mikdash sanctified. There's a process. And as we said, Levim's specific process has a more Tahara than the other processes here had, and that seems to have to do with what we discussed, that Levim are said to come from this sort of impure place. But in some sense, it does correspond to what we have to the Mikdash itself has a Kedusha. I'm not sure if it said the Lur Tahara, and so on. Now there's one more mitzvah about Levim, which is the age of their avoid of their service. So remember, we had different ages, the age of the Yisrael being counted from 20 years and on in the census, which we've interpreted as being also the ages in which they work, which when they go to in the army. And now we have the same language for the Levim, for the ages in which they will become part of the Tzva Avodah. So again, the army. The Tzva means something like an army, not necessarily an army for war, but an organized corps, like to work or something. And it gives their ages. So it gives the age from 25 to 50. From 25, they start working. And from when 50, they retire, they become not doing the avodah anymore. But it says, in other words, they can still guard, they can still watch. Remember, the main sort of job of the levim is to do this mishmeres. They're watching. Like, they literally watching, or watching by teaching and by making sure that nobody who is not authorized enters in the mikdash and so on. So they watching can still do, but the rest of the avodah, which we've discussed, avodah smasa, right? The carrying of the mishkan, which you need to have strength for that. After 50, they can't do that. So that's the avodah of the levim, and that's the end of the story of the dedication of the levim.